prayer will fix it. And I agree, it fixes it every time. Not sometime, every time. There's not a time that myself or anyone here this morning that have gone into prayer and God have not fixed it. Amen. Amen. Whether we were looking for the answer that we wanted or not, guess what? Prayer still fixed it. Amen. 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 So that lets me know that God does not fail. He won't fail you in no way, shape, form, or fashion. Amen. Thank you for prayer. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, God, for giving us the confidence in you. Knowing, oh God, that whenever we search out and sought after you, oh dear God, that Lord, that you will deliver. And Lord, we thank you, oh God, that we would be satisfied with the way that you answer and the way that you deliver. Because we know it is to our good and for our good. We thank you, God, for Jesus. Oh, Lord, how we thank you for him. Because, Lord, everything that we have in life, where we're at right now in our life, is made possible through your son Jesus. And we thank you that, Lord, that you put us in that place. You put us in a position that we would hear the gospel, that we would be introduced to your son Jesus, the Savior of the world. Not the Savior of song, but the Savior of the world. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you. Thank you for making it so simple. And God, you didn't load us up with all of these rituals and laws. But just thank you. You said in your word, dear God, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Thank you for introducing us to who it is and what it takes to have eternal life. And it what a list of rules, oh God, but it's through your son, Jesus. Thank you. Now, Lord, I ask, oh God, that you once again empower me and be with me, Lord, to share your word. God, I'm nobody. I'm definitely nothing without you. So, God, I surrender to you. I submit all that I am unto you. Because your people need to hear a word from you. So I ask God, the Lord, that you would use me to speak your word. Lord, I ask that as you give me this opportunity to speak, that God, there's someone here that is not saved. Lord, that they would give their life to you today. Someone that may have backslidden, walked away from you, from the church, for whatever particular reason. But God, I ask today, the Lord, that you would bring conviction to the hearts. Touch their hearts today, God. Don't let them leave the same in which they came. Lord, those of us that are saints, oh dear God, I ask that your word would correct us unto righteousness, oh dear God. And Lord Jesus, I pray that your word would edify, enlighten, encourage, and inspire us. But most of all, we seek transformation. Thank you for the transforming power of your word. Thank you, God. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen and amen. Amen, amen. If you don't mind, would you just join me in giving God a big rising round of applause? Amen. Amen. Amen, amen. He is good and he is deserving of much more than that. But we thank you, God, for this opportunity to worship you collectively. Amen, amen, amen. For the reading of the word today, will be coming from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And we want to park at verse 1 and 2. I have a couple points I want to make today. This is not a three-point sermon, but just a couple powerful points that I want to try and unpack from this text today. So, homiletically, I'm messing up, but the hermeneutics won't be wrong. Amen. 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 So I got a couple points I want to make from this particular text, Colossians chapter 3, and beginning at verse 1, it reads as follows: If you then, or ye then, be risen with Christ, or some translation may say you've been raised with Christ. Paul encourages us, he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. Now he identifies to us where the Savior is. Amen. He says, seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth. That lets me know, that's proof that when Jesus left the earth, he went back to the Father, and he's sitting on the right hand of God. That's what the text says. Well, he sitteth on the right hand of God. So since he's there, he says, this is what we ought to do. He says, set your affection. In other words, he says, set your mind on. Yeah, ponder your mind. He says, on things above. We see that again. He talked about things which are above. He says, set your mind on things that are above. And watch this. And he says, and not on things on the earth. I want to talk about this today, is simply fighting for your daily conviction. Fighting for your daily conviction. Amen. 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 To God who is our Father, Christ our Savior, the Holy Spirit who is our Comforter, to Reverend Moore, Reverend Johnson, in his absence. He's on assignment today, so let's keep him lifted up in prayer. Also to our officers, amen. God bless you all. To our mothers, thank you for your many prayers. To our ushers, we do give you honor. To our music ministry, thank you so much for blessing us through song and through all of our Father's children. Amen. 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 Before I would go on and take our text, I was looking as Sister Kelly was coming in. That reminded me so much of the old days as she brought those girls in. That's the way my mama and them used to do. Did y'all come from that kind of family? Everybody said to come. And she stood there. That's the way we used to put that signal light on. Everybody just lined up. No, you ain't sitting behind. All of us is going to sit right. So if I have to backhand y'all or twist your ear or whatever, or pinch you or something, amen, I won't have to go far, amen. Amen, amen. I found that pretty humorous when I was, as she was coming in, and I just chuckled inside. I said, that's old school there. Amen. Fighting for your daily conviction. I think you and I can agree on this one thing, is that there are some things, many things in life that are optional. For instance, if I may, you have an option to walk to the store or to drive to the store. You have the option as a registered voter to either vote Democrat, Republican, Independent, and now they brought the Tea Party back. Amen. You have an option nowadays whether you want to go home and eat dinner after church, or you go dine at Garfield's, or wherever you may want to dine at. You have an option to go to college or to not go to college. You have an option to become employed or not be employed. You have, all I'm saying, a myriad of options. But however, when it comes to being a child of God, how you identify with Him is not a freeway play with options. It is not. Because at some point, how you identify with God, you must stand on some deep conviction. It's one of two options. And one of them can actually betray your relationship with God. Either you are with the Lord or you are not. Ain't no in between. That there is no middle ground. There is no third alternative. You are either a child of God through salvation by Jesus Christ, or you're not. In this letter to the Colossian church, the Apostle Paul is dogmatic to not suggest, but to state clearly, that someone who gives their life to Christ is called to embrace not only Christ, but two major components of his or her life, and that is the cross and the resurrection. I'm going to say that again. As a believer, as you embrace not only Christ, you are called, my brothers and sisters, to embrace these two major components in your life, and that is the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And I cannot be a believer in Jesus Christ and reject the cross, the agony, the pain, the suffering, and the sacrifice that he made upon it. I cannot be a believer in Jesus Christ if I believe in he who was born in a manger, baptized at 12, reappearing at 30, calling disciples, performing miracles, died on a cross, and then not believe in his resurrection. No. See, if I have to believe it all by myself this morning, my brothers and sisters, where we live in a society where right is wrong and wrong is right, can you just allow me to state my conviction? And I pray that my convictions are yours too. It simply goes like this, that Jesus Christ, the son of Mary, the stepson of Joseph, the result of an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, was born of that virgin, lived 33 and a half years, and not only did he live, but he performed ministry for 3 years. He was betrayed and arrested in a garden, dragged from judgment hall to judgment hall, beat all night long, brought before the same folk that welcomed him into Jerusalem, publicly sentenced him to death, dragged his cross throughout the streets of the Via Dolorosa, affixed to a cross by Roman soldiers with nails in his hands and nails in his feet, lifted high between two thieves and heaven and earth, died on a cross, buried in a borrowed tomb, and then early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. That's my conviction. I pray that it's yours too. Because here's the bottom line. The cross is his place of death. The resurrection is his method of return. The cross was his agony. The resurrection is his victory. The cross was his way out, but the resurrection is his way back.
The cross was his method of dying for us. The resurrection is his demonstration of life forevermore for us. The cross was his worst hour. The resurrection was his finest hour. The cross is where he shed his blood. The resurrection is where he got up with all power in his hand. I cannot believe. Look, and be a believer in Christ by ignoring the cross and the resurrection. In this passage, I learned to fight for this positive corollary. The daily exhortation, and I have to persevere, and this must be a part of my daily life. You must live this. Look, this is what must guide you in your daily life. Every day that God gives me, I must remind myself and anyone else who may be around me that he died, but he got up. I got to remind him that he closed his eyes in death, but he got up. I got to remind him that his body was pierced, but he got up. I must remind him that a stone sealed his grave, but that third day morning he got up. Therefore, this paradigm must be observed by those in the household of faith. Y'all, we must identify with this. It must be identified by this. This metaphorical implication by Paul has to be observed by us daily and rehearsed in our heads over and over and over again. And here's what we must rehearse, is that he died on the cross and he rose from the dead. Can you say that with me? He died on the cross and he rose from the dead. Look, Paul attaches this to all believers. He says in Colossians chapter 2 and 12, if you were buried with him. Then Paul says, now in our current text in Colossians 3 and 1, he says, if you identify him as being resurrected with him, then Paul says this. First of all, we find in the text, we have to remember daily to seek those things which are above. This word seek is the Greek word zeteo, and it literally means as a sense of endeavor. It means to give it a try. This word, this is not a phrase for those who are lazy. I'm going to say that again. This phrase is not for those who are lazy. But watch this now. Every day, we should at least try to seek a higher plateau. Every day, you and I ought to seek to reach a higher level in him than where we're at now. Can I get a witness? Because this is metaphorical, it means, watch this, that I need to seek after that which is not tethered to the ground or things that are attached to this world. No, what Paul is telling you and I, he said, no, I need to seek after heavenly things. I believe that's in the text. He said those things which are above. Those are heavenly things. The things above where heaven governs our earthly thoughts and responses. So look, this can only happen when we are preoccupied with his plan, his purpose, his provision, and his power. And you are to want to go higher in how you love. You ought to want to go higher in the way you minister to others. You ought to want to go higher in your compassion for others. You ought to want to go higher in your being patient with others and showing strength and wisdom, kindness and mercy towards others. You shouldn't want to always stay like you are, but that's just the way I am. Baby, you ought to be trying to reach a higher plateau. Two things I want to point out. Watch this. Is that number one, many believers live beneath their privilege. Because see, God loves us so much, watch it, that he does not want us to walk around with lowly thoughts. Oh, see, something wrong with a believer if you are found in him. Something is wrong with a believer if you continue to walk around with low thoughts. See, baby, that was my pre-Christ life. I didn't know how to think. But now that I'm in him, I don't walk around with low thoughts. I see things which are above. I try to think heavenly now. Yeah. There's a whole to unpack here. What are you saying, homie? See, he doesn't want us walking around thinking the worst about each other. Doesn't want us walking around in doubt about our faith. Doesn't want us walking around negative about our future. He doesn't want us walking around operating away from the word of God. He doesn't want us walking around tripping over stuff that ain't even worth it. He doesn't want us walking around mad all of the time instead of having joy. He doesn't want us walking around cussing and fussing all the time. No, those are low thoughts. And watch this, your attitude, of thought will determine your attitude. My. What are you driving at, Byron Holmes? See, all I'm saying, it's hard to be someone who seeks after God and want to cuss everybody out. It's hard to seek after God and you've got an integrity problem. It's hard for someone to seek after God and you judgmental of other folk all the time. Our thoughts have to be elevated on higher things, specifically on the Lord. Which secondarily means I take the attention off myself and my surroundings and situation and move it to a heavenly realm. I wish I had some witnesses. What are you saying? What are you saying? See, no matter what neighborhood I live in, guess what? I'm gonna think kingdom. No matter what state my health is, I'm gonna think kingdom. No matter how high tariffs, taxes are on steel and aluminum, guess what? I'm going to think kingdom. No matter who the Lakers or the Dallas Cowboys have signed this year, I'm going to think kingdom. No matter who tries to rattle me, I'm going to think kingdom. That's why some people are confused by you and I. Yeah, because the way you think has affected your attitude. Yeah, they have thrown ridicule at you. Insults at you, they have talked about you, your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your past, present, and your future. And guess what? And you still have nerve enough to say hallelujah and praise God and amen. Why? Because my level of thinking is kingdom and not earthly. Am I talking to some kingdom thinking people today? Every time folk do something to insult and dismantle you by trying to come against you, what you believe just popped up a fresh can of thank you, Jesus. And you are Lord, you are worthy. And God, I give you glory. I give you praise. That's what kingdom thinking does. And it's because I've been risen with Christ. In other words, I share in a union with him. And because I've been immersed into the Savior's death and resurrection, my thinking level is different. Why? Because believers have been raised with Christ. They cannot forget who they are or how they are to live. No. Because guess what? You've been raised on another plane. You possess eternal life. And you're on the fact that alone your thinking, brother, is kingdom and is not earthly. You're supposed to seek those things which are above. That's the first order of business. Secondly, Paul encourages us this, is that we have to remember that Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. See, this really is the shouting point. Paul says again, he says that daily, we must remember that Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, is not dead. Now, he was dead, but now he's not dead. I believe the songwriter said we serve a risen Savior, and he lives today. He didn't say he used to live, but he lives today. Amen. In other words, Paul is saying he's alive. So remember, watch this, he died on a cross, resurrected from the dead. He was around 40 days after his resurrection. Are y'all catching that? He caught a cloud into glory. All that is what he once did. That's some useless stuff. But now, when Jesus returned to heaven to glory, he's now assumed his rightful position in the very throne room of God. And God the Father sits on the great throne. To his immediate right is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is his name. He is, my brothers and sisters, literally sitting on the right hand of God as Reverend Moore is to my right. Jesus is literally sitting there beside the Father. And guess what? He's not just sitting there twiddling his thumb. And guess what? He's busy. Because the Bible tells me he is the high priest. And every now and again and all the time, we keep him in the throne room at the prayer table and on his knees and interceding and for us because of some crazy stuff that we can find ourselves doing every now and again. So why do we need to remember this? We need to remember this because scripturally being on the right hand of God expresses through Hebrew poetry three things. One, it signifies strength. Two, it signifies powerful protection. And third, it signifies favor. That's one of them 1, 2, 3 images. That there's strength, powerful protection, and then there's favor. Watch this now. Here's the good part. The part of the Godhead that sits on the right hand of the Father, watch this, is no stranger to you and I. I'm going to say that again. The one part of the Godhead who sits on the right hand of the Father, he's no stranger to you and I. Watch this. Well, that went over your head, and I'm going to help you out. Look at Paul's premise. What Paul said, we are partners with him, watch this, and suffering and victory. He's no stranger to us. See, it's bad when a believer treats Jesus like a stranger when he shouldn't be a stranger to us. Because we are koinonias together. We are partakers and sharers together with him in suffering and victory. Because Paul says it again in Colossians 2 and 12, we were buried with him. And in Colossians 3 and 1, we were raised or resurrected with him. So you know what that signifies there to me is that, guess what? See, if you're with somebody, that means you close to them. That means y'all done hung out together. I mean, y'all do some things together. Y'all spend some time together. Can I tell you again? See, if you're a believer, that part of the Godhead who is Jesus, he shouldn't be no stranger to you and I. Because we have been so intimate with him, we also have connections with him. Baby, do you not know when you was buried with him, guess what? When he died, guess what? We died to self. When we went down in the water and we was buried during baptism, when he was buried, we was buried, he was buried, and we hung out with him then. But when we came up out of that water, and they stood us up, guess what? We came up hanging out with him in resurrection power. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody in here glad that you got intimate relationship with the Godhead, Jesus Christ? That's shout news. Because Jesus is no stranger to a believer. And we have an advocate with the Father who prays for us and intercedes for us. And even when we don't act right, when we don't pray right, worship right, give right, praise right, talk right, we have someone on our side speaking up for us, watching out for us, passionate for us, and providing for us with three things he does through his strength, with powerful protection, and baby, he had it with his favor. Anybody glad you got favor? And the reason why we need to remind ourselves of this daily is because in this room right now, if we'll be honest, are some folks sitting in here trying to look churchy, and you know you need some of his strength. If we'll be honest, there's some folks up in here now trying to look all churchy. You know you in need of his powerful protection. If we're just going to tell the truth, there's some black folk up in here right now. You know you in need of his favor. Not just on Sunday morning, but I need it not between the hours of 11 and 1 o'clock, but I need it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You're going to need some strength, some power for protection, and his favor. Can I get a witness up in here? Fact about it, can I poll this house right now? How many of us have been struggling and feeling like you're empty on the inside? How many of us have been harassed by hell and battling with church hell that's taxing and tiring? How many of us have been fighting and warring and don't have any fight left? How many of us are going through a situation that is draining the life out of you? But if you know Jesus and you have connection with him, I'm a witness, he'll give you strength. How many of us are literally fighting in our homes every day? How many of us have to deal with people who are always trying to hurt you that you know don't want the best for you? How many of us are walking around with a target on your back? But if you know Jesus and you got connection with him, I'm a living witness, he'll give you powerful protection. How many of us are looking for a breakthrough? How many of us have tried to live right but still struggling? How many of us know that you are on the periphery and you need to be rescued? But if you know Jesus, I stop by to ask you, and you got connection with him, I'm a living witness that he will give you favor. Because we have a connection with the one who sits on the throne. God, my mama never said, is still on the throne. Within your bosom. She said, baby, you have fun. And wherever you walk, you're not walking alone. She said, just remember that God is still on the throne. Am I talking to some folks in here? He's still on the throne. Yes, his son is there on our behalf. And I'm done here. But before I sit down, I just got to ask, is there anybody here that knows it's good to have the Lord on your side? Paul says, I have to have a higher mindset. Paul says that I need to remember daily that the Lord is on my side. And I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but I'm glad that the Lord thinks enough a little on me to make himself available for my every need. I heard the word say that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And some of us here have learned how to tap into his riches. We've learned how to do that. We have learned how to talk with God in the good times and in the bad times. But Paul closes this text by saying, once again, keep your mind on the higher things of the Lord. And I heard David say that what we ought to do is lift up your eyes unto the hills from which comes your help. And David said, all your help comes from the Lord. Is there anybody here this morning that can testify that when you were down, that the Lord picked you up? Anybody here can testify that when you were out, the Lord made a way. When you couldn't find it, that he supplied it. And when you were confused, didn't he straighten your mind out? So we just want to say thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. For loving me enough that you supply my every need. And as I go to my seat, I just want to tell you a story that there was a man that had to raise 6 of his children all by himself. His wife had died. He had only a few dollars to his name. He didn't make a whole lot of money, but he had 6 children. They didn't have the finest of clothes. They lived in an old ragged house, but something was happening. Each of his children was able to go to school. Each of those children were able to go to high school. Each of them graduated from college. But a reporter had heard about this poor family that graduated 6 children, and all of them graduated from college. He went by the ragged house one day to interview the father and the children. He said to him, he said, sir, I just want to ask you, how were you able to put 6 children through grade school, high school, and college all by yourself? And the father told him with tears in his eyes. He said, brother, I couldn't do it. I didn't have the resources to do it. But he said, but I am a praying man. And I am a believing man. And every time I needed something, he said, the Lord made a way. Every time I needed money, the Lord made a way. Every time I needed to send the children away, the Lord, he made a way. The reporter said, sir, what do you call that? He said, Mr. Reporter, I call that the strength of the Lord. I call that his powerful protection. And I call that his favor. Is there anybody here that's a recipient of his strength? Is there anybody here that's a recipient of his powerful protection? Is there anybody here that's a recipient of God's favor? Anybody here that had haters that almost conquered you, but you can look back over your life and say, but God favored me? Is there anybody here been abused, manipulated, and had your strength misused? But when you look back over your life, you can reflect and say, but God, he favored me. Your enemies tried to triumph over you, but God, he favored me. They whispered, conspired, and told lies about me, but God, he favored me. They attacked my character, integrity, and my faith in God, but God, he favored me. But I will not fall, and I will not bend, and I will not compromise, because God, he favors me. I tell you, he favored us over 2,000 years ago out on a hill called Calvary. When they marched him up that hill, he was favoring us. When he gave his hands to the nails, his feet to the rivets, when he gave his head to a thorn-crowned brow, when they laid him in a borrowed grave, he was favoring us. But early Sunday morning, anybody got favor? I said early Sunday morning, he got up. And when he got up, he was favoring me. When he got up, he was favoring you. When he got up, he was favoring us. He got up, he was favoring the world. Because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God for favor, that he got power, he supplies strength, he provides protection, he supplies us favor, he watches over me. Anybody know that God, he's watching over me? God, he's got his eye on us, he's watching over us, he's providing protection over us. We thank you, Jesus, that you didn't stay in the grave. We thank you, Jesus, that you shed your precious blood. We thank you, Jesus, that we've been washed and kept by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Jesus, for favor, 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 favor. Thank you. We thank you for faith.